Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening and welcome to Pop Culture Stars, the beginning of Season 5. Can you believe we made it here? It's absolutely awesome. This is Dr. John standing in the cabin at 625 Farside Drive in Lakemont, Georgia. Helping run this thing is, of course, Dave Atwell, and I am in the home of Bigfoot in northeast Georgia, way up in the mountains. Always privileged to be here. Thanks to our friends Will and Amy Rodriguez, who have this wonderful, wonderful cabin that they let me come up here and do our podcast and everything. So greetings to everybody. We're so glad you're here. First of all, I want to introduce our co-host for tonight. First of all, sitting there in Jacksonville, North Carolina, running the board for us tonight, the one and only, what's your name, Dave?
That's close enough for government work. Don't want to give too much information out. How's everybody doing this evening?
I'm Dave. What's going on?
Not much. I hope everybody's doing well tonight. Got some much needed good news here at the house. And just a lot of relief going on here. A lot of good things going on. So looking forward to a good show. Looking forward to hearing some stories about the con in Indianapolis. So let's get her on.
Well, it was a lot of fun. Todd, how are you doing tonight up there in our northernmost outpost in Indianapolis, Indiana? How you doing, buddy?
I am doing outstanding to supernatural, Dr. John. Diamond Dave, man, I know we had a rough week trying to deal with hurricanes and stuff like that last week for y'all. But, man, I got there's always a little good and a little bad. I'm going to go ahead and steal a moment out front. Just a reminder, it's been 18 years. Today is indeed September 11th. And there's a lot of things people say talking about don't forget. I believe in the mindset that the last words you say is what you will recall. So I am simply going to say remember. One brief moment of silence. All right, thank you. I appreciate you giving me that. So we've got a ton of news, man. We got a bunch of stuff that we can all talk about here. Dave, I heard you talking about some good news because I know once we start in on this con, you're going to get run over like it ain't nobody's business. So I'm going to ask you to shoot off your good news.
Well, it's all more on a personal level. You know, as you guys know, started this new business venture this spring and everything, and signed on a large commercial contract that looked as if it was going to be the financial basis we needed to, you know, carry on throughout the year and everything. And it turned out to be nothing but red tape the whole time through, and there's a certain monetary amount that's been owed to us for coming up on 11 weeks, and finally received about 90% of it today in a check. And I tell you, it's nice because, you know, it's funny, the work is there but the pay is not. And it's so hard to describe when people ask, is that the pay is good. The work is hard. The pay is good. Cause you know, you're making, you know, $60-$70 an hour sometimes doing these jobs. So unlike your normal punch in, when you do commercial accounts, you do the job, but you don't necessarily get paid as if you were doing something, you know, for a privately owned structure. And so without naming the culprit behind this, it's just when Duke Power and Light wants the money once a month and it takes them near 3 months to get you the pay for what you did back July 5th. Yeah, it's a little frustrating. And it damn sure puts you in a tight at the house because, you know, when you have a family and everything, you know, you don't want them to go without. And it's been a challenge. But, yeah, that and then the darnest thing about it, funny how it works, is they put the check in the wrong mailbox. They put the check in my neighbor's mailbox, and it just so happened Rob was outside with Misty letting her do her business, and my neighbor saw him and said, "Hey, we got some of your mail." And Rob walks up to me, and he's got it in his hand, and I says, "What is that?" And he says, "Oh, some mail." I said, "Some mail, damn it." Give that to me. And, yeah, lo and behold, there it was. So, you know, had to fight off the urge to keep from bawling. But, yeah, it was much-needed good news. And, you know, going on what you were speaking on about the hurricane last week, we were really blessed. I don't know about Myrtle Beach, how they fared. Of course, Dr. John wasn't nowhere near it. But it was probably one of the strangest hurricanes I had ever been through. And, you know, I've lived all but 5 years of my life on the East Coast. And, I mean, we actually had a thunderstorm that rolled in here day before yesterday that did more harm than the whole hurricane did. So, again, you know, it's one of those things where you never can tell. And for all those folks out there listening, don't fall victim to all the fear-mongering those guys do on the Weather Channel, because that's their big thing. We've spoken about it before. They, you know, I had put on Facebook that you can always tell how deep a crap you're in by the way the weather guys are acting on the Weather Channel. If they seem upbeat and happy, that means you're going to lose everything you own and probably die. If they seem a little down in the mouth and disappointed, that means you're going to be safe. So, yeah, blessing for not getting blown to eyes last week. Blessing for the finances to be showing up here this week. Just nice to have some good news rolling in. So, yeah. And then, of course, the good news you guys were sending through Facebook with the pics and everything. Looking forward to the stories.
Oh, you guys take it away. Oh, man, we got a ton of stuff going on. I'm going to... Dr. John, all right if I jump on some personal stuff first?
Yes, sir. And then, boy, have I've got two blockbuster announcements and stories that will be coming out as soon as you're done. So let me know.
All right. So we've got a jam-packed show. All right. So I'm trying to find a lighter form of the 9/11 stuff. Yeah, God bless our folks that are out there serving, that are on the fight, are on the razor's edge doing the stuff that needs to be done. I would like to make the formal announcement out here. I'm probably going to catch grief for this, but I would like to announce that last week, my son, Darian Saxon, Sergeant of Marines, instructor at School of Infantry on Camp Geiger, was selected for Staff Sergeant.
Hey, outstanding. Well done.
Is that freaking great? Or is that freaking great? The damn, that's freaking just wow. All right. So, yeah, I had to throw that out there. So I just had another life change, too. Y'all know I took a flyer to accept a job to come up here to Indianapolis. Went ahead and took the deal, being separated from family, that kind of stuff. I have resigned from that job. And this, look, GDIT family, big props. I love you much. You put me in the position for this next opportunity. I got to talk about, I got to give some love out there. Brandy, Lucretia, Jeanette, Mark, they're not there anymore. Those folks have been the absolute best the biggest amount of support. And what they did is they positioned me to get a job offer. I went ahead and I accepted the job to go with the government, got a reasonable pay bump, bunch more responsibility. Of course, you know, watch this. We'll be on furlough right away here at the end of, you know, in October. So still going to need a little bit of prayers. But, yeah, some big life changes in the last 16 months, gentlemen. But this job is it's stinking real. We're doing real stuff. I'm basically in the same doggone billet with expanded responsibilities. So that's been just dadgum great. And wanted to be able to share it. It was really hard to not blurt this out on air previously.
I'm glad to hear it. It's good to see things coming around, you know.
Yeah. So, man, a lot of good news here this week. All right, Dr. John, you got some announcements, brother. What you got?
Yes, sir. Well, first of all, it was good to see the She Squatchers. They are the most wonderful ladies from Minnesota.
Oh, man.
Bigfoot without men, guns, or anything else, frankly, and they get a lot of good results. So, as Todd, as you know, we saw the She Squatchers. They are phenomenal, phenomenal ladies. We're so glad to have them. Now, the luck, you know, Todd, sometimes the luck of the draw really matters. We had our table in the middle of aisle number two, whatever that means. Of course, we were across from Squatchman and Squatchman Jr. Eugene.
We were.
Beautiful wife and their beautiful kid. It was great seeing them. They've been good friends of mine for a long time. I'm always glad to see them.
And baby girl was there. They had the baby all weekend.
Prettiest little girl you ever saw.
All smiles and coos.
Yep. Now comes the interesting part. We had some dude next to us, to our right, and we started talking a little bit more, and it turns out we had John Borowski right next to us. He is the premier author of serial killer books. Dave,
yeah.
What do you think about serial killers?
Oh, well, you know, they're not good people, but damn it, they ain't interesting.
Well, they are, and I'll tell you what.
Right.
John Borowski is going to be working with us. He's going to be coming on here to Pop Culture Stars. He has 6 books out, and his books include talking about interesting people like Carl Panzeram, H.H. Holmes, who was Jack the Ripper, the horrible Albert Fish, and of course, I've got the book in front of me, the Ed Gein file. I mean, what monsters these people were. He's also got a book coming out about, I can't even remember, about, Todd, help me remember. He had that poster up. But I'll tell you what, he's got some.
No, that was going to be the film on Gacy.
Yeah, John Wayne Gacy. He's got a film and a book coming out on John Wayne Gacy. He's absolutely the top guy in the field for for serial killers. He's got an Academy Award nominated documentary, which I watched last night, called Serial Killer Culture. Great film. It's kind of grisly, but it's worth it. And so I suggest everybody watch Serial Killer Culture. We met him, absolutely one of the nicest people I've ever met, and he's excited about working with us and maybe doing an event and just hanging out, and he's a real superstar. So everybody, John Borowski, just could not be a better person, and he's a very smart guy. Yes,
Todd? John was an awesome table mate, dude.
He really was a heck of a table buddy. So anyway, met him, and then Todd, I don't know if you met him or not, But I met the Prince of Goth of Indiana and met him with his father. He's one
I remember
of the most
that.
Approachable. Pardon?
I remember that.
One of the most approachable gothic people that I've ever met. Super guy. We're going to be working with him on some things. So it was great. Just, you know, met a lot of good people. Saw a lot of good friends. We saw, of course, Travis Walton, our friend. We saw Bob Gimlin. Now, Todd, you've got a relationship with the Bob Gimlin team, who Bob Gimlin, of course, of Patterson Gimlin, that did the Bigfoot footage. Do you mind sharing your relationship with the Gimlin team?
Oh, man. It was I couldn't even have expected this kind of stuff. The Bob Gimlin's got a massive team that's there. They're great people. They're keeping stuff on track and online. They're working things. They're all approachable. They're all freaking just straight up excellent people. So I go up there, and John and I got in there Friday night. We're doing our, you know, we're making the we're just, you know, trying to get stuff set up so that we can have the table rocking and rolling on Saturday. John, you know, is get through the brutal travel. I get him downtown. He's wore out. We're walking into something neither of us have walked into. And it's a pretty big level stuff. We're getting these things rocking and rolling. I get over to the Bob Gimlin's table, and I'm like, look, it's Friday night. We got a pause in the crowd. Let me get in there and meet those folks. So I get up there to the table, and I'm talking, and there's this guy. He's like 6'4", just a freaking wedge of a human being. It's just, you know, and by the wedge, I mean not a pair. I mean, it's all shoulders and chest, and he's going down. He's sitting there. We're talking about getting, you know, start setting it up. I'm like, hey, you know, how do we do this and that? I don't, you know, want to just go over there and start that, make sure I'm doing it right. And he uses a couple phrases. And I look at him, I go, where'd you pick up those phrases? He goes, I was in the military. I go, keep talking. He's an old Army dog. And you know what?
Well, I'm good.
It's stinking great because I just told him, I retired from the Marine Corps in 2005, and it took us a while to get back to Bob Gimlin. We sat there and we talked for about the next 10 minutes. and that's how kind of like the whole relationship started with the Bob Gimlin team. You know, you get to better and a better conversation, and you just start having a conversation, you know, it's going and like, oh, yeah, wait a minute, what about the picture? And before the weekend was over, I was like, you know what, and I know people hadn't done it, I took the time to go grab a photo of the whole Gimlin team, and Bob Gimlin jumped in there on it. You know, he didn't even have to, because, you know, usually the photos are a thing. So all those photos are right back to the Bob Gimlin team, and they have the opportunity. I sent them all to them on the website, got the response. They're just ridiculous. They are such great people. I was John and I, we were on Saturday night, we were trying to we're doing our stuff. I'm like, and you know me, I'm not going to pass an opportunity to hit the head when I have the chance. So I'm doing that. John was over there talking with Jenna, the She Squatchers, and you know, our boy is walking out. Bob's got his escort, almost like a bodyguard. Next thing I know, I'm on the phone trying to figure out where John is, and you know, he's trying to figure out where I am. Man, I'm sitting there getting mugged, and Lori Accord and part of the other team are right there with them, and it was pretty cool. There's, you know, a guy just felt free to mug me, and it was unreal. It was just really fun. It was really fun because it put it was far more personal than it was business. It was really great.
You know, it was, Todd. We had a good time. You met a lot of my friends who, you know, happened to be some of the speakers and things like that at Horror Hound and Fact or Fiction. So, and it was nice. It was good to be there. And I can tell you that I met two groups that are going to be interviewing soon with us. First of all is RIP, Rural Indiana Paranormal. Don't count those guys out because they say Rural Indiana Paranormal. They have got some great stories. And so we'll be talking with them soon. And then, of course, Wild and Weird West Virginia. I love those guys. Let me tell you, okay, Todd and Dave, are you ready for the story from Wild and Weird West Virginia? Are you ready?
Oh, yeah.
Go for it.
Bring
That's
it
Todd.
On.
Dave, are you ready?
Oh, yeah.
Bring it on.
Okay, here's what happened. Because in my new book, Aliens, UFOs, and Anomalies, I've got a story about how the Mothman saved my life. And I'm going to tell you the story. You just got to go buy it and read it. But here's the point. I was talking to, and the gentleman's name, there were two of them. I was talking with Ron Lanham. And they're going to be on here sooner than later. He said that up in the very top of West Virginia, where it's really high, they have those one-and-a-half-lane roads that are, you know, just scary to go through. He has had two experiences with seeing an entity on the road and see it absolutely levitate, open wings and levitate straight up. And, I mean, you know, it sounds a little bit like the thing that saved my life down in Horry County. So what I can say is we're going to have them on the show, Dave. I know now, please be nice, but we're all friends here. But I'm going to get these boys from West Virginia on there. They told me that I could come up. We would do a camp out near where they had their experience, and we'll see what happens. Dave, now you know the truth.
Yeah, knock yourself out. Carry your glow sticks and your granola bars and all the important things that you need to have when you go into the woods chasing a 8 to 9 to 10 foot hairy, mysterious behemoth. Granola bars.
We're not going into the woods. We're going right next to a state highway where a lot of strange things happen. So I'll make sure you're the first one to know, okay?
All right.
So anyway, met those folks, met Rural Indiana Paranormal, met, of course, John Burkowski and the Prince of God. So we got a lot of future stories getting ready to happen, and it's going to be fun. So, I mean, you know, that's what Pop Culture Stars is about, because pop culture is about lots of things, including monsters. Dave, never mind. I didn't say that. Hey, Dave, you remember we called you Saturday night and we said, congratulations. We were involved in some things that were even older than you. What were you saying about that, Dave?
Now, I lost the back end of that, John. You have to repeat. I'm sorry.
I said, what was I complaining and laughing about with you about a couple of things that were older than you were?
Oh, God. Damn. Yeah.
Truth.
Just a handful of things older than me.
The Roman Empire, the signing of the Declaration of Independence, and what else, Dave?
Oh, gosh. I can't remember. You're talking the whole 5 days ago, man.
Oh, hell. My birth certificate on the cave on the southern wall of France, you know, that was painted onto the wall of the cave.
Yep. Well, Dave, we still love you, and we're so glad you're here. And yes, there are things younger than Dave, but we don't talk about them. But anyway, that's Pop Culture Stars. So we had a great time. Todd and I had a great time up there in Indianapolis. We've got a lot more cons to go to and do. We've got the Jacksonville, North Carolina Comic Con. Now that I'm back and on track, we'll be scheduling that to let everybody know where Jacksonville is. And Dave, I know you're going to be excited about this. I just sealed the deal for the Clemson Bigfoot Conference, which will be March the 7th in Tigertown. So that'll be a lot of fun. Dave, I hope you can be there, and we can ridicule you the entire time. How about that?
Good luck. I'll be coming loaded.
Oh, probably more than one way, just saying.
That's right.
Oh, man, guys, let's talk barbecue.
Yes.
Dr. John had a banner barbecue weekend.
I did. So, and you know what, John? Since you mentioned that, I have to tell everyone that I'm up in Indiana, and I discovered Alabama white sauce. That's crazy. From South Carolina, shouldn't I know about Alabama white sauce? I guess not. So let me tell everybody what it is and how you make it. Oh, my Lord, it was good. What it is mayonnaise, horseradish, apple cider vinegar, and brown sugar. And, oh, my goodness, is it good on your barbecue. You can add it with your other sauces, and it's incredible. So I have to recommend Alabama white sauce. I had it down in Berea, Kentucky, and then I had it in Indianapolis at a place called Sugar Fire. Todd, wasn't Sugar Fire incredible?
Oh, man, Sugar Fire was rocking. I kind of got to set this up a wee bit. So I'm sitting here, and I'm trying to keep track of John's travels and stuff. You know, I finished my day of work. I'm sitting here, and I'm trying to figure out how we're going to do this. All right. He gave me his last update. He's X amount of hours away. And I'm like, cool. I'm going to catch a nap. I'm out cold for about 12 minutes and the phone rings. It's Dr. John. He's like, I had a life changing experience.
Well, I did.
He's calling me in the middle of the travels, talk about the life-changing experience of the bar. What was the name of the place you hit there in Berea? And they don't say it Berea. I still say it like the Ohio way. Sorry.
Hits Barbecue.
Dude, he was so wound up about barbecue. And we got some good places here. We didn't have time to hit the other one. You know, we're just town hours, that kind of stuff. You know how that is. It's a busy weekend. But, man, so he was all torqued on barbecue when he comes in. And we're walking back on Saturday night to our parking garage. Just for the record, me being cheap, the way I am, as my Filipino friends would refer to me, Kariput. We've been walking past this one place called Sugar Fire, and I learned about it a little over a month and a half ago. It's there downtown Indianapolis. Like, darn it, John, they're open, because it's one of these places that they're like, we close when we're out of product. I'm like, well, that's a good sign. I kind of like a barbecue place that operates like that. It usually says something about their product. Man, what a way to cap the evening. Because Sugar Fire Barbecue downtown Indianapolis, man, that place is pretty stinking good. That is pretty stinking good. And the funny part is, so, you know, I take pictures of our chow and stuff, send it back to the fam-damily. And I got some pictures from yesterday. Yuki had the day off. or the morning off, part of, or I don't know, I guess a day off. So her and Kyla just couldn't take it anymore because I sent those pictures of barbecue. So they're sending me pictures with, they're in Jacksonville. They went and hit Mission Barbecue. They just, they couldn't take it. They couldn't take it. But man, I had this. They took some of their jalapeno and cheddar sausage, smoked sausage, with brisket, put it on this wonderful bun, loaded with some lettuce and pickles, some of the Alabama white sauce and some of the barbecue sauce. And man, they loaded that thing up. They had some pretty solid greens. And damn if your barbecue baked beans weren't real good too, Dr. John.
Yeah, they really were. Hey, what, we had a barbecue fest up there, and I certainly stopped back by Hits Barbecue on the way back. So, tell you what, barbecue is great. And what I can tell everyone, I'll go ahead and announce this, is that on November the 3rd, we are having the Warrior Bigfoot Conference, and it's going to be Bigfoot and Carolina Barbecue. So we're going to have some great barbecue from Lexington, North Carolina, brought down. It's going to be a lot of good eating and a lot of great times. So everybody check out the Warrior Bigfoot Conference. That will be in Warrior National Forest in Troy, North Carolina, and we'll have love barbecue. Todd, is that right? Hey, do you like barbecue too?
Dave. Say again, your last.
Hey,
Dave,
I lost you guys.
You like
okay,
barbecue?
I hear you now.
You like
come again
barbecue?
Now, I'm sorry.
So if you,
barbecue, is that what you said?
Yes.
Yeah, you know, everywhere you go, it's a, I think it's more of a culture shock for people that come to the Carolinas and go for the barbecue because by and large everywhere else on the planet, barbecue is kind of a, almost a, I don't want to use the term creamy, but it's got a lot more sauce to it and the sauce is a lot thicker.
Yeah.
And then of course when you, the more to the center of the, country you go, it fades from the pork and goes more towards cattle, where when you say barbecue, they're usually speaking on brisket and that kind of stuff. So, you know, whenever you go out of town, you know, you'll never find the vinegar-based, hot sauce-based stuff that we have here in Eastern North Carolina. But I think it's harder on everybody else coming this way because it does. It goes from a saucy kind of barbecue to a dry, which, and I say dry, I don't mean dry like a bad dry. It just doesn't have, it doesn't have a sauce. You got to add the sauce to it. But yeah, barbecue is one of those things. When I first got down here, I wouldn't touch it. I looked at it. I said, I'm not getting near it. And then one day, you know how it is. You get so damn hungry, you're willing to eat anything. And I laid into a one of these fire department benefit, you know, when you get the clamshell with the barbecue and the two hush puppies and the coleslaw in it. And
oh, yeah.
I started pounding on it. Next thing I know, it was an addiction overnight. And, yeah, hey, you don't want me walking into a Smithfield with you because they start calling in help.
I hear you, brother. And that's the best advantage about barbecue here in the States because it really does mean different thing in different places. Like Northern generally is they will grill straight coals. They might add a little hickory or whatever, maybe some fruit, wood, and they'll definitely heavier sauce or whatever. But I'll tell you right now, to me, the best cue is always just clean, straight, smoked, a quality rub. Maybe if you're doing perky, maybe an injection. I think if you do it right, you really don't need an injection. You can probably grind and rock and roll from there. But, man, you know, like a good mesquite smoked turkey breast with, like, a killer rub is just well done, you know. Good brine, you don't need much more. But, then you get into the whole sauce factor. Oh, God, soups. It is ridiculous. Yeah, that's, I'll tell you all right now, Yuki's favorite food here in the States is Q. And she just wants it done right, no matter which kind it is. Oh, yeah. Oh, good grief. Man, we could talk Q for a while. Let me tell you, you know, hit in my end, I know that we love to in the Carolinas do the pulled pork and they got the coleslaw and stuff on it. But let me tell you,
yep. You
want to know a neat addition to the Carolina-style pulled pork, you know, that vinegar base and smoked and wonderful. You want a nice addition to a great pulled pork sandwich? Go and do one of those pickled egg recipes based on the with the beet juice and stuff like that and the onions from it. Steal the onions and put that on a Carolina pulled pork sandwich. Oh, let me tell you, you ain't lived till you had that. It gives a whole different angle to that zing, and it is just wonderful with it. Absolutely man. Took me a while to rock on the Carolina pulled pork too, Dave. Definitely took me a minute. That whole vinegar base, I was like, damn, what is this, a Dr. Massengill product?
Yeah, it was. But you know, the thing of it is, once you get to putting that stuff on there, you find yourself splashing it on your coleslaw. You find yourself, you know, dropping a little on your plate and running your hush puppies through it and everything. And,
It deals with the type of vinegar. You know, you can use some.
Oh, yeah.
One of the best choices I saw, you know, clearly apple cider vinegar is probably the general best move. But you would be surprised what you could do substituting some rice wine vinegar. Oh, belly.
Yeah, rice vinegar, believe it or not, when I made my pickles this year from the garden and everything, that's what I used. I didn't use standard. I used rice vinegar and got a lot better results out of it and everything. But, you know, Carolina barbecue, everywhere else you go, the coleslaw trick doesn't work. It's like only Carolina barbecue does the coleslaw trick jive.
Dave. Stop right there. Don't you call coleslaw a trick. What are you trying to define here?
Because I'm here to tell you, you take a scoop of coleslaw and throw it on a barbecue sandwich, it's curtains. I mean, it's all over. But it doesn't work that way on other kinds of barbecue. You know what I mean? It's almost like you got to have that Carolina barbecue to get it right. But that's some good eats. When I went to Kansas City years ago, we went into a place, oddly enough, called Dave's Barbecue. And it was right there across the street from Kansas City Alive, which is their hub place. And matter of fact, it was 2008. We were watching the Olympics on the Titantron there at a Kansas City Alive thing. And that was when Phelps was winning more gold than Michael Jackson. And, the whole place was rocking. You know, you're all pumped up. Of course, we're knocking back the malt beverages. And I see this Dave's Barbecue place right across the street. And, I mean, it's funny how barbecue goes. You know how pizza and, like, tacos go good when you're getting a couple beers in? Well, barbecue's the same way. If you're drinking beer or barbecue, it just seems to score. And went across the street there to that place, and the entire place, even if you wanted to get a corn dog, it was a barbecue corn dog. I mean, everything they had in it was barbecue. So I ordered a half a flat. And Todd, I'm sure you know what a brisket flat is. It's just that one. It's not the whole brisket, but it's just that one piece across the bottom center that has absolutely no fat on it. But it was a slow roasted half a brisket flat, and they had the caramelized barbecue sauce on it, where it was almost like paste. I mean, the barbecue sauce had a gooey glue, you know, kind of texture to it. And I'm here to tell you.
First off, my mind, look, that's the way, if you're going to sauce during the cooking process, look, you need like a brand new batch of wet naps and five rolls of paper towels.
Kind of like eating blue crab. You get more on you than in you, you know?
Right.
But yeah, that was some awesome eats, man. Unfortunately, I went back a couple of years later and the place was gone. But that was, to their credit, they had turned it into another place that actually served buffalo. That was their main thing. And I ate a buffalo tenderloin, which was out of this world good. But I damn sure missed my second shot of that barbecue, because that was the whole time I'm flying to Kansas City, all I kept thinking about was that place. And I get there and saw it wasn't there anymore. But yeah, that was some damn good eats.
Yeah, love it, love it.
I can't miss
you know what?
For sure.
This is awesome. We just spent about 12 minutes on barbecue. That ain't too shabby, gents.
No, Todd.
Yeah,
that was terrible. We should have spent. No, stop, guys. We should spend 22 minutes on barbecue. 24. We should double it. Okay. This is Dr. John's command. Anyway, Dave, what were you saying? I'm just giving y'all a hard time.
Well, no, I mean, it's good we get on there and talk 15 minutes of barbecue. I think me and Todd laid down about 10 minutes on Hamburger Helper a show or two ago. So
We did.
And military cuisine.
Yeah, and you were lucky. I didn't get the nasty comments from Brady here, so that's okay.
Yeah, we were speaking on the wonderful cuisine that comes with the rate of military pay, and you know, the different flavors of Hamburger Helper, the various uses of manwich, how fish sticks are no longer allowed to buy.
Sloppy Joe's. We did talk Sloppy Joe's.
Yeah. Sloppy Joe's some good eating now.
Truth be told, and I come down to it, and it's the way it is, forget the box kits, do your own. I know I said it during that show, I'm going to say it again. Look, it ain't that hard, and it's better for you than some of the stuff that's in the pre-done kits. Look, it may take some money to invest in a spice cabinet, but do it. It ain't that stinking hard, and it ain't going to take that much more time. You know, you take a few moments, you put together, you go through the spice cabinet, you lay the stuff out on the counter, you throw that stuff into the bowl, you know, your portions, and boom, and you have your seasoning mix. It ain't that stinking hard. It ain't rocket science. I mean, seriously.
But it's damn good when you get done with it.
Oh, yes, sir. The every now and again, the and I think it was I think we would laugh about the Sloppy Joe thing. I think that's a it's just a northern comfort food. You get these winters and the cold weather and stuff like that. That's a northern comfort food. There are regional comfort foods.
Yeah.
And that's just one of those things. Yeah. Oh, speaking of comfort foods. So Sunday when Dr. John and I are walking away from the event, the Horror Hound weekend, just so they, you know, we make sure we give them some love. I was telling them, I had told them about this classic diner that we have, which is Metro Cafe down here in Greenwood. And I was like, Dr. John, I said, last year, right near Thanksgiving, my neighbor and I had stopped over there for a chow, and they made, and I think last year around that time, I talked about it on there, deal with it for the repetition, that they took dressing and put it in a big Belgian waffle press, covered it with mashed potatoes, put a load of sliced turkey breast over it, and covered it with gravy. And then they give you this little, like, dipping cup-sized thing of the cranberry sauce, just enough to prevent you from getting scurvy. Just enough. And I will be doggone, because Dr. John, when I'm telling him about this, he's like losing his mind, right? I'm like, you're going to be okay? You're not going to pass out on the sidewalk or anything? He's like, the only thing I want to do is put the mashed potatoes on the side so I can put my butter on them. I'm like, all right, you know, I know you got to do your southern thing. I will be doggone, but if when we drove down there, we walked in that Sunday night, son of a gun, this niche menu item happened to be the top thing on their, with their chalked in off the menu item on their massive chalkboard. And I was like, no way. I thought Dr. John was going to pass the hells out on the spot.
Uh-huh.
He was like, no way. Dude, I don't think I've seen a happier camper in my life. He was pretty freaking happy. I mean, he's going to rank the barbecue above it, but he was no way displeased with what was there. And good grief, Dr. John, was that portion ridiculous or was that portion ridiculous?
Absolutely, it was ridiculous. It was great.
Yeah, it was. Look, we were close to having to do some CPR on him multiple times. A, when I told him about it, and B, when he saw it on the thing, and C, when he was actually eating it. It was unreal. Yeah, true story. It was, I was like, there is no way that was up there after I told him about that, and it was on the menu. Best part, Dr. John went all buffoon and left the leftovers in the fridge. Guess what I've been eating for lunch?
Well, I'm so busy trying to get out of there and get on the phone. I forgot. But anyway, Todd, thanks for being a great host. Thanks for hanging out with me and hanging out with us at Horror Hound. We've got to say it very carefully to get it right. It was a lot of fun. We saw great friends like the Chief Squatchers, Squatchman, Squatchman Jr., his beautiful wife and their kid. We saw the Bob Dimlin group. We saw Wild Crazy West Virginia. We saw all kinds of folks. So, God, we could not have had a better time. Oh, and also, we have rural.
Oh, dude, we ain't even touched on some of the stuff from the weekend. There's just a ton of stuff. So, immediately across from us.
Oh, we just lost Dr. John. Carry on, but we just lost Dr. John. He'll be back. I'll keep an eye on it.
Oh, okay. Thank you. So, Dave, you remember the original Legend of Boggy Creek movie?
Yeah, faintly.
All right.
Okay,
so
here's Dr.
Pamela
John. Back. There he is.
All right. All right, John, to catch you up, I'm talking about who was our other table mate immediately across from us, Pamela Pierce. As in,
that's right.
Her dad is the one that filmed the original Boggy Creek movie. So
absolutely.
We got her
nice lady
right across from us, right? And she's got her daughters with us. So she's doing the family thing. It's their first con, and we're talking with the kids about doing things and stuff, you know, in the con. And we're just, trying to tell them how to have fun while dealing with people and stuff. And, of course, unfortunately for them, I'm one of the people across from them. So they're sitting there with my outrageous humor. And, dude, one of the things they have are their original posters or copies of the original posters for the stuff. So I get that, and I get Pamela Pierce to sign it for me. And then I went over to Lyle Blackburn, who nobody has documented the original movie better and built all the stuff for part two than he has. And I got him to sign it. And who did we have just down the way? Dude,
we had
Thorben.
The real folk monster, the guy that played the role. That's who we had.
That's right. The guy that played the monster in the original movie. Dude, we got all three of them to sign a copy of the original movie poster. Because I went over, I did that, I came back with it signed. I showed it to Dr. John, and he was like, oh, damn, I got to do that too.
That's right.
I sure did. I went over. Dude, how are we ever going to find those three at the same event again?
Exactly. You got to strike when the iron's hot when it comes down to those things. And, I know a couple guys who have a habit of toting around. I know the Dragon Ball guys, and if there's one good thing about me that I always seem thankful for, there's two things. I've never been addicted to cigarettes, and I've never been addicted to Dragon Ball, because those Dragon Ball guys are kind of just rabid when it comes down to their fandom. And you see these guys toting these posters around, and the amount of stress they put on themselves carrying this same poster to event, to event, to event. And, of course, you know, they act like it's, human organs that are going to save children's lives when they're carrying them around. And I'm like,
right.
I don't know. So, you know, when you have a group of people there that have a common thread, yeah, you got to strike while the iron's hot. And to be honest with you, I've noticed a lot of times those guys get a charge out of doing that, where they look at it and go, oh, you know, you got him to sign it? Cool. Let me, as a matter of fact, I've got that wrestling book for my dad that I take to different shows and everything. And Arn Anderson, when I met him in July, he was flipping through. He goes, oh, there's Jerry. And, oh, there's Nate. And he was having just as much a good time looking through it. And, you know, he got a charge out of, you know, being able to add his name to that book with all the other names in there. So when you get a chance to get that kind of stuff, especially something, and I hate like crazy to say this, we've spoken about it before, I don't mean to put the whammy on it, but, you know, I am quickly approaching 50 years old. Anything that was on when I was a child, the clock is ticking. Because the clock [S2] Right. [S1] Is ticking for me. So, you know, you've got to strike while the iron's hot, and you get a one-of-a-kind piece of memorabilia that, you know, I know the big thing is to get these autographs and put them on eBay. To hell with that. That's something you will take and, you know, be something you keep, be passed on, you know?
Oh, absolutely, because that poster is mine right now. But there were, man, let me give some love to some of the people that were out there, like the Ohio Night Stalkers, Mike Feltner, Mike Miller. Oh, God, Suits, they were freaking a blast. Amy Boo from Amy's Bucket List, we sat there and we just laughed our ass off. I was like, Amy Bouquet, as in playing with keeping up appearances from the old British sitcom, sitting there talking with her. The Greg Yost and Eugene Yost, the squash man. Oh, good grief. That was just unstinking real. We're sitting there just hanging out with a ton of people. We talked about some of them, you know, we were there. Travis Walton wasn't in there on our side. Dave Baccara, the Claudio Bergamon, what a dude that stuck in the late 70s, early 80s. What a big Kiss fan. That was really freaking cool. Some of those guys, and look, the She Squatchers, we've had some odds and ends, INM, stuff like that in my personal case. I know Dr. John's got a more intimate more business relationship with them and done a lot of stuff with them. I'm sitting there, and I get greeted with hugs. How cool is that, dude? It's just unreal. And the whole, I know John mentioned them earlier, Dr. John did. The rural Indiana paranormal went over to those guys. I started talking with them, and so Dustin comes over with me to our booth, and it's just like unstinking real. And dude, John was trying to work his way over to Bob Giblin, and they shanghaied him like it was cool and threw him on the air.
Nice.
Yeah, it's just the way it is. It's just the people we were sitting there working with and doing things with. I know I've missed a ton of people. I apologize. And, you know, sorry about that. It's going to happen. By the way, for those that haven't seen it, I was Boondock Saint like a big dog. Got my photo with Sean Patrick Flannery, and maybe even the coolest bit about that whole thing is, so we're sitting there waiting in line, and I see a guy in a wheelchair with his mom and stuff like that, and I'm like, I know that guy, even though I've never met him before. So I walk up to them, I'm like, guys, do you know Jim Pope? Jim Pope's the guy I worked with, retired Air Force. And he had told me about his, he always says nephew, but technically it's his cousin's kid. He just says nephew, and I just default to that. And they're like, yeah. I'm like, I know you, dude. So next thing I know is Justin is dealing with some brutal physical challenges and has been a darling of these cons. It's a
I love how the celebs have, the various celebs, Walking Dead group has been big in adopting him, and the management teams, because they all have common circles, will contact him. You come into this event, we'll come to you and do our photos there, that kind of thing. We watched how Sean Patrick Flannery got him in there first, did a variety of poses, hanging around with them, that kind of thing, took extra time compared to the most of the folks, and it was just outstanding. So I got to hang out with Justin, who's one of our local heroes. I turn around and blink. His mom's trying to follow me on doggone Instagram. I'm like, really? You know, it's just me. But it's really cool. So next day of the show, they're coming through, and they're actually, now that they're done with trying to get the photos and all that stuff done, they're trying to get the kind of casual walkthrough. They come over and they catch us in the booth. Yep, more photos with Justin and I. So check out Pop Culture Stars website. I've got a bunch of photos up there. Man, just some of the people and things going on out there. It was a really outstanding event. We had so much fun. All right. Yeah. That's dead air to give you guys time to jump in.
No, that's... I thought John was going to step in because he was there.
I'm right here. I was absolutely listening. At that moment, I got a text from England, and I got a text from Nashville. It was like, oh, my God. It's like, you know, the phone's 5-24 hours a day. I was actually talking to Tori Seals. Dave, do you remember when we had her husband, Jay Seals, on before he passed away with his
absolutely
great new book? Yeah, so Tori had sent me a message because I'd been gone. We were working on something about helping servicemen who are around when they have, you know, these problems like, and I forget what they're called, but it has to do with, you know, the burn pits and everything. So I was talking with her, and I was talking with Ian Gunner about being, and he said, this is the only time I can talk to you. Want you on my show? And he's got a podcast in the UK. So I'm sorry, I was cry listening. I was listening to everybody. So please, now what am I supposed to say? Tell me, I'm fortunate. I'm lucky. The Lord has blessed me by being a little bit popular. I was never one of the popular kids. I guess now I am. So what am I supposed to say? Hey,
no,
guys, how's that for the truth?
It's great because there's nothing wrong with good news. Good news overload. I'll take it any day versus the bad news and we've spoken so many times about shared success is that when somebody else in the group does well, it makes the group better. And,
definitely.
Well, what I can tell you is we've at least got Nashville, and we've at least got London, England listening to Pop Culture Stars tonight for sure. So that's why they were sending me messages.
That's insane.
That's cool, Dylan, that you're getting intercontinental. I know with my books, there was a span there where I was selling more books in Australia than I was selling in North America. And I was sitting here scratching my head. I'm going, well hell, maybe I need to get on a plane. But, you know,
leaving on jet plane. Yep.
Yeah. It's cool to know that, you know, my work's been purchased, everywhere. You know, it's been purchased in Asia, you know, in Japan, but apparently Australia has this big thing for anything about the Western frontiers with the gunslingers and all. They're really into that. And, you know, of course, with the first two books being set there, you know, they bought them up. But, yeah, I was amazed. I was like, wow, neat. My book sells in Australia. So now they're hearing our voices over there in the old Union Jack. So look at us. We're getting global.
Yeah. How about that? That's, man, you can't go figure, right? The stuff you can't make up. The no, seriously, it's just what a great stinking weekend. What a great stinking weekend.
And, you know,
and man, all three of us on air tonight. I'm digging it.
So, and I got to tell you, I just had three people pop up and say, send me a link. We want to listen to you right now. I got to tell you something funny, and this is something very few people know except my former students. Whenever I was teaching a class and someone called in on my cell phone and wanted to talk, I put them on speaker, and I said, you know, what's going on? I'm in class. Talk to me. And they'd ask me a question about computing or whatever. And one of my students said, well, why do you do that? I said, well, it lets you know that I'm relevant and people really care what I got to say. And if I don't care if they call at 11:30 and 11 o'clock class, you know, I'll answer them, and you may learn something from my answer. Boy, that shut that up immediately. So, you know, what I'll say is when we are interrupted by people, that's good. As long as it's
most
positive
certainly.
Interruption. Yeah, so anyway, as I said, I got three people in the UK saying, what's your link? It's like, well, I don't have the link right now. I can't exactly go copy and paste it. So I'll say popculturestars.com next week is what I'll say. But anyway, now you know how we handle things here up in Lakemont, Georgia, having a good time. So here's what I want to say, because Dr. John has been on the road today again, another 10 hours. And I want to thank my two co-hosts. We're going to have a guest next week. I'm working on two of them. That way one of them will happen. So is it okay to say au revoir? Voila too, and all that stuff. Can we say we'll see you guys next week? Is that okay?
Yeah, I'm all right
in a moment. I want to give some love. I want to give some love to Mike Roberts. He's working the project. Check him out. If he can pull this off, he is getting a Stephen King script that he will have proprietary ownership of there in the greater Wilmington, North Carolina area to do a film, and that's a big deal. Check him out on Facebook.com at Mike Roberts. This is a big deal. He's needing some donations. I know. I guess this is my plug. Look, check him out. You know what? $5, $10, $1, whatever, anything we do. Look, our independent film guys, they are the stuff.
Oh, yeah. Most certainly.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
You can't tell them enough.
The plug I have for the week is just a simple but very important is, again, what Todd led off with is, you know, first responders. And, yeah, keep everything in mind for all the reasons, for the sacrifice they made, for the sacrifice they make, and moreover, if you go through the trouble of forgetting that day, it's going to happen again. And though it's a pain in the neck taking off your loafers at the airport, just know that it's all part of not repeating history. And, you know, 18 years later, you know, there are countries that never bounce back. And, you know, here we are 18 years later after 3,000 innocent folks died a horrible, unnecessary death. You know, the country's going strong. The Dow is, you know, up to 27,000 points. You know, you can't keep us down for long. And it's that good old American resolve. But the good old American resolve, a main cog in that mechanism is remembering. And, you know, as Todd said, remember the good things, remember the bad things. And, yeah, just God bless those guys that were involved. God bless those guys who continue to do their part. Because, I mean, it's not just protecting New York City. It's the guys who, you know, who were sitting at the fire station while this hurricane blew over and I sat in my house. For the cops who sat in their cars, you know, all those guys, the doctors that stayed in the hospitals and everything, the linemen who stayed in those little Quonset trailers that they drag around, all those guys. They leave their families behind to keep ours safe. So God bless them all. And, you know, lastly, God bless America, because we are the best thing on the planet. I don't give a damn what nobody says. So there's my chunk.
That is awesome. And I will say, I got to thank everyone that has texted me tonight as we are getting back into season 5 of Pop Culture Stars. We've got a lot of great things happening. My comrades in arms, Dave Atwell and Todd Saxon, thanks for being with us. We will be back next week. We will have we got several folks that I'm looking at for guests. We'll be announcing those on Facebook. Thanks a lot, and guys, have a good week. Fans, have a good week. We will talk to you next time. I will be disappearing for an hour to return calls, phone calls, and everything. I'm so grateful that people care about what's going on in Pop Culture Stars. So thanks a lot. Guys, we'll see you next week. Todd, will you be back?
I'll be here.
Dave, will you be back?
Yes, preventing any type of visit from the Reaper. I will be here.
Okay, that's good enough. Okay, love all of you. Take care. Godspeed. And this is Season 5, the opener, for the one and only Pop Culture Stars. See you next week, 9 p.m. Eastern.
Good night, people.
Good night, everybody. We'll talk to you guys soon.
Yes, sir.
And the British lady.